Welcome to The Buyer's Desk, your weekly resource for all things natural food retail. Each month starts with a deep dive into SPINS data, spotlighting growth trends and key industry insights. Then I'll bring you conversations with industry leaders and highlight brands making waves in the natural channel. We'll wrap up each month with actionable strategies, collaborative discussions, and tactical tips to help you thrive. This season is packed with fresh perspectives, big ideas, and everything you need to stay informed in natural food retail.
I'm Bella Hughes, and alongside my lifelong best friend, Samira Niku, we're the founders of Better Sour, an award-winning sour gummy candy company. We make candy for adventurers and flavor seekers who crave bold, tart, fruit-forward flavor, inspired by childhood memories and global flavors from our heritage. From our tangy passion fruit to bright, tart cherry, every bite is intensely fruity, perfectly sour, and completely craveable. We turn first-time buyers into loyal fans. And here's the better part. Better Sour is vegan, low sugar, high fiber, made with premium ingredients, with colors from fruits and veggies. We're a woman-owned, WBNC-certified business, proudly building a modern candy brand that performs on shelf, resonating with Gen Z and millennial consumers. If you're looking for a standout sour candy, we'd love to connect. Visit us on bettersour.com or follow us on social at eatbettersour. We can't wait to see your candy on your shelves.
Welcome back to The Buyer's Desk, the podcast where we dig into what's really shaping the natural and specialty food industry from the buyer perspective. I'm Kim Rout, and today I'll be hosting this episode. I'm excited to be joined by Betsy Frost, CEO of Q Mixers. Betsy stepped into this role in December 2024, bringing her deep experience in the beverage space, including her time leading the non-alcoholic brand Hoplark. In this conversation, we're talking about leadership transitions, category tension between alcoholic and non-alcoholic beverages, and what buyers and brands can do to work better together, especially in a premium, fast-evolving set like mixers. Betsy brings a thoughtful, grounded perspective on growth, values, and decision-making, and I am excited to get into the real behind-the-scenes conversations you don't always get to hear. So let's jump in. Betsy, welcome to The Buyer's Desk.
Thank you so much for having me.
So you stepped into the CEO role at Q Mixers in late December of 2024. What surprised you most in your first 90 days?
It's a great question. I mean, I think whenever you start a new company and you go through the interview process, this was a great one. I think the entire company was incredibly transparent with where they were, where some of their challenges were. And usually when there's a leadership challenge or a leadership turnover, there are some challenges that you're trying to figure out, whether that's accelerating growth or getting back to growth or finding kind of a new path, right? So I felt like everyone was very transparent that there was a new path that the brand wanted to go on. In the first 90 days, the thing that really stood out is that the company probably already had the answers. They just needed it to be pulled out of them and organized in a way where people felt comfortable in their voice and could bring forward what they knew in their heart to be true. You had amazing people who had been living in the category, who had been living in the brand, who were a little bit timid to lean into what they thought would be true. And so to just listen, to organize those ideas, like a lot of where we wanted to go was there. And then it was, how do we test and learn and validate and feel good about taking some leaps on the areas that we knew to be true?
That's probably exciting from your standpoint to sit back and watch these people who already have, you know, the answers, and then watch them grow within that role by being like, hey, I'm giving you the power to voice your opinion and tell me your experience and why is this not working? What can we do differently? I bet you that was probably pretty exciting to watch that with the people that you got to work with.
It's one of my favorite parts of being in, you know, small to mid-size natural brands is I came from a background out of tech innovation and then spent a good chunk of time at General Mills, where you have people coming out of business school and just genius people. And when you move to some of these smaller companies, you've got people who have spent their entire life in the natural space and their wrist is so strong and they are so genius. And yet they have sometimes never had development or people give them the space and the trust to lean into who they are. You know, when some people come into brands, I know they come in with their own team. When I have gone through transitions, my first thing is like, what is the talent we have here? And how do we unlock what that looks like? And so it's about creating for me a sense of, and for the organization, a sense of safety where you can start to bring things forward and you start to see the return on those rewards. And when you lean into people and ask them to have a voice at the table and not expect it, and then all of a sudden you start to see, well, the more I ask, the more you offer. And the more you offer, the dialogue starts and we can start to have real conversation of like, one of the first things we started with the team is, you know, especially when there's bad news in some of these environments, it's very hard to bring forward. And if it's hard to bring forward bad news, it's also hard to bring forward ideas because they're kind of interrelated, right? And so our mantra is there is no good news, there is no bad news, it is just news. And then when we take that as a common reality of what we have to tackle, well, then ideas start to open up. And so this team in particular, the Q team, I think sparked to it right away. They were so hungry to have a common sense of the truth to be able to spark ideas from and get motivated. And, you know, watching each member, you know, from top to bottom within the organization start to voice up at every meeting that we were having was like, yes. And then to hear people be like, hey, man, there's no good news or bad news. It's just news. Tell me what you think. And I was like, yeah, knowing it.
And that's going to be exciting for them to be at the table because maybe they would never work at the table. But then to be like, it's not good news or bad news. It's just news. And I can feel free and safe to say what's on my mind.
Absolutely.
So when you inherit a brand with strong equity like Q Mixers, what do you protect at all costs and where do you feel pressure to evolve?
I mean, I think it depends where the brand is. For Q in particular, we have an exceptional product that has been the foundation of growth over the last few years. And like that cannot be messed with, toyed with, changed in any way. Our commitment to quality and real and like the perfect balance of flavor is our bedrock, number one. The second is, you know, what is the legacy of where this brand has come from? And how do you take its history and honor it and evolve it into its next stage of growth? I am very lucky on this brand is Jordan Silber, the founder, I actually went to school with. We worked together our first jobs out of college. And so I have a personal, like, full circle moment to help accelerate his dream and what he saw, you know, as an opportunity into the market to take it to where we believe it can go. And so, you know, connection to the company's founders, its values, its, you know, origin, I think is important and important to hold and figure out how that fits into the story. It's, you know, where you go next is what's the opportunity? Is it about accelerating where you already are or has the world changed a bit and we need to adapt? And for Q, we still have a ton of runway to premiumize the mixer space and how people use mixers with premium spirits. But also there's a whole world of mocktails and just mixing and functional beverage that has exploded over the last 3 years. And you're in a landscape where it used to be categories were very distinct. You had an energy, you had a soda category, you had a mixer category. And now we see this like just complete merge of subcategories within beverage. And so within that landscape, it now becomes how do you take a core of what's made Q so successful and make it stand out with a greater emotional connection in this broader array of the beverage landscape, that you don't get just to play in your corner anymore. You're playing across categories and occasions and against competitors that may not have been traditional competitors.
So you brought up a really good point, and this is going to be my next question. So premium mixers sit in the intersection of alcohol, non-alcohol, and functional. Where do you see the most confusion from shoppers right now?
You know, it's really interesting. I think it's a different answer than I expected coming in. I kind of had this preconceived notion after studying the mixer space for years, after being in kind of non-alcoholic categories and very adjacent to it, was that consumers were confused when to use a mixer or how to move it beyond. And a few years ago, we made a package change where we went from our hierarchy of having the can and a drink next to it, and it was Q tonic, Q premium ginger beer, to Q mixers as the headline on the product. And what is fascinating is that change just spun consumers out because they were like, wait, but I use this for lots of things. It's not just a mixer. Like, is that a different product? And it's because, you know, 50% of consumers right now are just drinking mixers on their own and using them as, you know, whether it's a treat or hydration or mixing it with other things beyond alcohol on their own. And so, you know, I think that the biggest thing within the category is the way that the category has been shopped kind of as an alcohol adjacent category in history has usually narrowed kind of its shopping occasion to hosting occasions, although consumers are using it across all beverage occasions. And so how do we break out the category from what has been a perceived, you know, hosting occasion to, oh, actually, this is a place that I shop all the time. And so that is one of the reasons why off-place shelfment and like shippers in this category do a ton to drive trial and awareness, because it's just disrupting kind of a shopping pattern and where the category has sat. And sometimes it's, you know, tucked away. It's not the same place in every store, but it is a category that once you pull out into kind of a shopper disruption area, overperforms versus some others.
So what can we expect from Q mixers this year? So you kind of talked about, you know, breaking out of your normal shelf environment. What's Q mixers going to do as far as maybe breaking out of that environment this year?
Yeah, there's a few things that we're doing. Our first one is a really fun big announcement that you can find Q now on every American airline flight. We will be taking over the tonic and club soda and their first margarita program. And so you can get Q margarita mixers as well on any American flight. So margarita time. But that's really exciting for us because it gets our Q experience in the hands of folks. They get to experience the can, the bubbles, the carbonation that is, you know, greater than any other carbonation in any other mixer, firsthand, and the flavor experience. And so we're literally breaking out of the stores and taking to the skies to join people on some of their fun, hopefully funnest travel that they have. The second piece is that we have really kind of amped up the way that we befriend people. We consider ourselves a people-first brand, and our job is to make as many friends as we possibly can. And in the last 2 years, we have really started to partner with other brands differently to create new experiences and inspire our consumers, who we call the makers, to think about new occasions and different things. One of those, which is really fun, is you'll see us break out of aisle with Chomps and our Bloody Mary, as Chomps is the perfect meat stick for a Bloody Mary moment. I think a partnership that people would be like, what? But yet it makes total sense when you're looking at, you know, the meat stick of the Bloody Mary that you see on premise now come to home. And so we are making new friends to kind of change the frame of how people think about mixers. Another one of those is we were talking about one of the favorite recipes we found last year with influencers was ginger beer and lemonade. You know, Pete's Coffee is doing a sparkling coffee with our tonic and club soda, as are some other coffee shops are using our sparkling grapefruit for a cold brew Paloma. And so these new occasions that are outside of necessarily alcohol occasions, which is also a mocktail occasion, kind of that hosting drinking occasion. And so we're breaking out in a number of ways there. And then you'll see some new innovation coming from Q this next year that's really about breaking occasion and what the frame of kind of the traditional mixer categories have been to more modern mixing occasions, flavors, and across kind of the categories or drink categories.
Yeah, when we were talking and you brought up like the lemonade and the ginger beer and then the Paloma and the Pete's Coffee sparkling water, I was like, I would have never thought to put those items together. So I'm super excited and I really need to go home and try some of these things.
I mean, we're in like the renaissance of mixing. We were just talking about if you go to TikTok, like people are creating potions out of stuff everywhere. And the idea of like going back to this childlike nostalgia of taking stuff and mixing them together and what can I create is its own hobby. And it is a place where mixers very clearly can play. But the idea of everyday mixing being its own escape and treat is kind of fun.
It is. So what is your personal go-to moment, mixer moment, actually? Fancy cocktail, casual mocktail, or straight out of the fridge?
Well, I do club soda straight out of the fridge every day. I'm not a giant sparkling water person. I secretly drink Diet Coke now that everybody knows. And so in my afternoon, I've started to bring in club soda as kind of my break. But our everyday, I have an 8-year-old and a husband, and we make a drink every night together for dinner, which is a mocktail or an NA of various things. And every night, one of us gets to be the creator and pulls out a mixer and adds anything from whether it's cherries to lime juice to other sodas to different things within the house. Spices have come into play. But like you've turned it into an evening game.
That sounds like a lot of fun. I think we need to go to Betsy's house for dinner. So what trend are you secretly rooting for? And which one are you ready to, say, retire?
I mean, I love, and I just said it, and so it's in my category, so of course I love it, but I love that we're getting back into convenience creation. That the idea of creation is getting back into people's lexicon. I mean, we went through the COVID, like back to the kitchen. And then I think we've seen an extreme, you know, push back to convenience. But this idea of like, I'm just going to play around with something and make it my own. And so whether that's some of the amazing global flavors and spices and sauces that have come into store recently, or this idea of a finishing sauce or a way to just add a few things to zhuzh something up, I think is really fun and is a new take on make it my own and kind of creation and slow eating and just appreciation of the food that we have. And with that, you know, the consistent move to real ingredients, real food, that we feel good about the things that we're putting in our body. That to me is kind of a ongoing, the train has left the building, like we can't get there fast enough. I mean, an unpopular statement in my house would be protein, because we are protein buyers of all the things. We have completely adapted the protein pasta and the protein beverages and the blah, 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 blah. But like, oh my goodness, it feels a bit overkill. And, but there seems to be no end in sight, which is kind of the like, okay, we'll probably add protein. I don't know. Just kidding. But the, I don't know when it ends, like, or does it make sense in everything or not?
Yeah. And I think it kind of goes back to the old saying of everything in moderation too. So, well, Betsy, thank you so much for joining us and sharing your perspective. Before we wrap up, I want to ask one final question. When you were asked to be on the Buyer's Desk, what was something you were hoping to talk about that we may not have gotten to yet?
That's a great question. You know, what I love about just being invited here is the ability to partner and to talk about between buyers and manufacturers. And ultimately, as brands, we are here to make buyers successful and are open to ways that we can partner better. You know, we're small brands trying to make it, trying to figure out where we can break through, yet at the same time, we're here to build categories and to make your stores more successful. And so I asked back of what can brands do to partner better, but I always wanted to say that out loud to anyone who is listening. We're actually here to help.
And I think from, you know, a buyer's perspective, being open, coming to share what the brand is doing, but then also it's a true partnership of talking and having that dialogue of, hey, we have this. Oh, that's great. How about we implement it this way? And really that partnership is what I believe grows the brand and makes everybody successful in the end and makes our consumers happy when they shop our stores.
I love it.
I do too. Thank you so much for coming in and having this conversation with me. And thank you to everyone for listening. Don't forget to tune in next week for another fantastic episode of The Buyer's Desk.
As we step into March and celebrate Women's Month, we want to take a moment to shine a light on the incredible women of IFRA. This month, we are featuring short clips from women across our membership and our staff. Women who are leading in stores, shaping strategy, strengthening communities, and moving the natural foods industry forward every single day. At IFRA, we believe leadership takes many forms. It is resilience, it is collaboration, it is innovation, and it is women who are willing to raise their hand, share their voice, and create space for others to rise. Throughout March, you will hear directly from these inspiring leaders. Our hope is that their words not only inspire you, but also remind you of the strength and talent within our independent community. Let's celebrate the women of IFRA. This is Women's Month on the Buyer's Desk.
My name is Shannon Holtzman, and I work for Leggett Farmers Market. We've proudly been members of IFRA for 10 years. I'm inspired every day as a woman in the natural food industry. Working here lets me express who I am and gives me the chance to help local businesses thrive, which I really enjoy. I also especially enjoy building relationships with customers who have over the years have become more like family. Creating a welcoming place where people feel genuinely supported and not judged matters a lot to me. And that's the spirit here at Leggett Farmers Market and felt across the IFRA community. I feel like women shine absolutely everywhere in this industry, whether it's women working in our store, managing departments at IFRA, or owning independent grocery stores, their impact is unmistakable. Watching women like Sue from Basil Bandwagon or Kim Rout at IFRA excel motivates me when things get tough. Learning from these amazing leaders has helped me be a better mentor myself, and it's been rewarding to be able to support other women on their journeys as well.
I'm Haley Craig, Events and Education Specialist here at IFRA. As we celebrate Women's History Month here at the Buyer's Desk, we want to look back on INFRA's 20th anniversary podcast series, Common Roots, and some of the incredible women owners we heard from in 2025. Here's a clip from episode 14, where we chatted with Vicky Bacon, owner and operator of Highland Nutrition Center. Check out this episode of Common Roots and others wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Honestly, I think for me, patience, just on a personal level, to be patient. I've always been pretty high energy, pretty much let's get in there and do it. And I think sometimes you have to be patient with customers, patient with yourself, patient with processes. Because we're small, I'm a working manager, if you will. I do a lot of the supplement buying. I do the dishes sometimes, clean the bathroom. So sometimes I don't get to get what I want. But I'm patient enough to know that if I keep working towards a goal, that goal can be achieved in most cases with the talent and the perseverance that we have.
As we wrap up this episode of The Buyer's Desk, we'd like to extend our heartfelt thanks to the incredible INFRA staff contributors, dedicated independent retailers, and visionary natural food brands and business partners that made this episode possible. Stay tuned for more inspiring insights and stories in the world of natural food retail. Until next time, thank you for your support. Angela Bozo, co-host and administrator.
Kim Rout, executive producer and segment contributor.
Jim Olson, Spins segment manager.
Austin Hinkle, audio engineer.
Sarah Super, wellness strategist.
Madeline Ware, marketing writer, editor, and digital manager.
Haley Craig, audio engineer and segment contributor.
Raina Kittredge, segment contributor.
Bella Sislo, outreach manager and segment contributor.